You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Steeder.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
Ever get the feeling you've been cheated?
It is Monday, June 2nd, 2014. My name is Matt Binder.
I'm Michael Brooks.
And this is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting to you live in the literal but not metaphorical shadow of the New York Times building.
In the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City on today's program.
I will say award winning and not minning. What am I saying? Like, what's wrong
winning
with you today? Winning, come
winning
on.
Winning. On today's program, journalist Amanda Marcotte on the misogyny inside the subterranean world of the pickup artist community, a community that I really just started learning about pretty recently, did a commentary on. And there's bigger implications from. We're going to get to those issues with her. Also, President Obama unveiling a pretty aggressive policy on climate change. Credit where credit's due. Obviously, there's some flaws in it, but it's pretty significant. We're going to get to that also.
Republicans who love the U.S. and its soldiers more than anybody else in the country are pretty pissed Obama safely has struck a deal to save to bring a safe return to a soldier who was held captive by the Taliban. I mean, I'm just stuttering just thinking about it because, you know,
nothing. Ted,
what?
Ted Cruz? Ted Cruz would never do anything like that.
What? I mean, what do you say to something like that?
Marco Rubio would never bring a soldier home from captivity. Also, I'm going to need to hold Bill O'Reilly in check again. Ever since Al Franken went to the Senate, someone's needed to take the Bill O'Reilly accountability mantle, and that someone is me.
And if you're wondering what today's show is, let us introduce it to you. Everyone's doing the robot now.
Yep.
All right, folks.
All right, that's
it's Matt
right.
And Mike Monday.
Coherent sentences ahead.
And if you're wondering,
twice the analysis, three times less the stammer. It's Eminem Monday on the Majority
well,
Report.
You're three times less the stammer. I'm about maybe one and a half times less the stammer.
Well, whatever the case may be. But we got to tell you really quickly, folks, we're running a minute behind here. But this is a huge day because today is the launch.
The debut.
The debut.
The grand opening.
Of the Ring of Fire with Sam Steeder. This is the terrestrial radio show that Sam is taking over from 3 to 6. It can be heard across the country. Matt's going to give you information about where you can look it up to find the information on the show. But today's the debut. So massive news in the Majority Report, Sam Steeder, progressive universe.
With
today.
The info provided to us by today, because as you all know, this was really put together. Really,
this has like literally been put together in 10 days.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe even less. Like a national.
You can download an app called TuneIn. And using that app, you could launch the you could tune into the Progressive Voices radio station channel. I guess it's like an online digital network, and you could listen to it there. It will be on in your probably most local progressive type radio networks.
Yeah, I don't think there's a full list yet.
We don't have the full list yet.
Yes, that
if
you still have a progressive talk radio station in your city,
and you know,
look it up,
yeah,
and ask for it,
and feel free to post links to said stations' web streams or websites. Period. On today's blog post at majority.fm, and people can find out from there, because we'll find out from you too, and we'll definitely promote whatever links
Absolutely.
We find where you can listen to the show.
And obviously there's going to be a ton more information that we'll keep you abreast of in the coming weeks. But today's huge. It's the debut Ring of Fire with Sam Cedar, 3 p.m. Eastern. You can hear that across the country, and obviously there's different ways of streaming it. More information as it comes in. We'll be right back after this break with Amanda Marcotte.
We are back on the Majority Report. My name is Matt Binder.
I'm Michael Brooks. Joining us now is Amanda Marcotte. She's a freelance journalist. You can see her writing in many publications. Amanda, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Good. Thanks for having me.
So I want to. You wrote a piece last week for the American Prospect called "How Pickup Artist Philosophy and its more misogynist backlash shaped the mind of alleged killer Elliot Rodger." I want to get into the various things you identified here in this article, which I think are obviously really important. I want to give a really brief disclaimer at the outset, which I think you could also maybe also speak to helpfully as well, because I did a commentary on this issues related to the pickup artist community and the shooting last week, and honestly, I had been, you know, I'd heard of books like The Game and stuff, but I was pretty remiss. I really was honestly just not particularly familiar with this kind of subculture until I checked it out more after this horrible incident in Santa Barbara. And I noticed that, you know, there was some pushback from some people who felt almost like any critique of this community was almost like a critique of like the very concept of reading a book about dating or dealing with social anxiety about dating or sex or something. And I just want to, you know, I think it's interesting how all of these threads get conflated. And I just kind of wanted to say, you know, that obviously I don't think that that's what we're critiquing at all. The idea of, you know, getting a handle or working on that aspect of your life is definitely not the issue that's at stake. But I guess, you know, so I'd actually be curious your thoughts on that. And, you know, give us an introduction to what this pickup artist philosophy is and maybe some of the pseudoscience that it's based on.
You know, I couldn't agree more. Like, this is not a critique of dating advice. And if anyone who tries to excuse or make excuses for our pickup artists by saying, hey, it's just dating advice, like the kind women get.
Mm-hmm.
I say to them this: if it's just dating advice, then why does it need a separate name?
Right.
You know,
yes.
Like, you would just call it dating advice if it was just dating advice. So pickup artistry is based around this, like, there's many, many kinds of schools of it, to be clear. There's many different schools, but, like, the sort of general pickup artist world is based on this notion that men and women are just fundamentally very different creatures. They're not motivated the same. They don't have the same desires. It's often based in this, like, bizarre evolutionary psychology that believes that women are use sex in order to gain status and attention, and that men use women for sex, and therefore it's all basically, yeah, a game, as opposed to, you know, a dating advice sort of mentality where everyone's just trying to, like, find love and companionship and sex because they want those things. So a lot of pickup artists will basically, like, teach men to exploit what they consider women's fundamental brokenness, like this notion that women evolved to be broken human beings who are incapable of just being dealt with honestly, who need to be sort of tricked into bed by exploiting what they see as women's endless status seeking and gold digging would be the way I put that.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so basically, like, the big difference I think there is that the reason that pickup artistry sells so well to the public to a lot of men is I think it makes excuses for them that they want to hear, that their dating failures have nothing to do with them. They're nice guys who just mean well. The problem is that they're not predatory enough, and that women are the ones who are broken here. That if women were better people, then they would respond to nice, quote unquote, nice guys. But since women are fundamentally broken, is the sort of pitch of the pickup artist. You have to change your strategies and become a predator. You have to be a trickster. You have to sort of exploit and use women because that's the only way the only language they understand.
So then all these things, I mean, there's two threads here that I think are actually really relevant to kind of disaggregate, because I think, because one of the things that also came up in actually some of the responses I got to my commentary was people in addition to kind of saying, like, hey, don't knock people for thinking about dating or having trouble with dating or sex or whatever, which again, obviously we are not, as you just said. And then the other thing is, I think people, obviously both men and women, but in this case, if we're focusing on this community, it's about, you know, men, they're dealing with serious, maybe in some cases, some tremendously significant, like, social anxieties, and really, intense issues which maybe need to be addressed possibly in a more, like, professionalized way. So that's kind of one thread that I kind of pick up on. And then the other thing that's interesting is it seems like, you know, okay, so there's this really bizarre, this notion of, right, as you say, women being broken, you need to be predatory, you need to kind of be nasty and always sort of, you know, like, this is a game of, you know, it's almost like applying a Henry Kissinger view of geopolitics to, like, going to a bar. And then on the other hand, though, it just seems like you could easily reduce these things to kind of, like, generic truisms that don't, like, yes, is confidence attractive? That would seem obvious, like a non-arrogant, someone being comfortable in themselves. Sure, seems like an attractive trait, right? Like somebody who, I don't know, has a sense of humor and comfort in social circumstances and is healthy. These things all seem sort of like so obvious, and yet they're kind of getting conflated with these strategies and bizarre kind of, I mean, I, it, so, and this is all, and does that all just come down again to, this is a story that allows people or men to not address what's going on in themselves?
Yeah, I definitely agree. So, yeah, you'll often see people defend pickup artistry by saying, all we're doing is teaching men confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not true, because what you'll find is their definition of confidence is being confident is feeling good about yourself, like you said, and feeling proud of yourself and just generally good about yourself. But they put dating, everything is about competition. So a lot of the pickup artist techniques for gaining quote-unquote confidence are actually more about dominating and bullying women that you meet in public. So, right. You know, putting yourself in a position of power over a woman in hopes that you can kind of bully her into bed. Like, so for instance, the game, the book by Neil Strauss, he follows this guy who calls himself Mystery. And it's very ridiculous.
I don't feel competitive intimidation by a guy named Mystery, maybe that's me.
This guy Mystery, didn't he have like a TV show?
Yes, he did. He did. And he's probably the most famous pickup artist teacher in the country. Mm. And most of the other ones you'll find are like kind of spinoffs of his method or critiques of it. But his kind of standard thing was you go in and you just sort of like try to bamboozle women into bed by trying to make them prove themselves to you, the dominant man, and how they deserve your attention by basically trading sex for it. And, you know, one example a lot of feminists like to point out is one of his favorite examples, one that a lot of pickup artists cling to, are pieces of advice to do something he calls negging, which is basically you give somebody an old, you know, a backhanded compliment. And the idea is to make them feel insecure and hopefully make them try to prove that they deserve to be treated better by you. So, or get more compliments from you. So, you know, it would be like, you'd say something like, nice hair, is it real, or something. Or, you know, just sort of pick on women, tease them, make them feel bad about themselves, in this sort of hope that by making them insecure, you look more confident by contrast. And, you know, I don't think that these techniques work, so I want to put that caveat out there. You know, insofar as men who pick up
you can
artistry,
stop writing these lines down, Matt.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, I'm just joking. I'm sorry.
I just want to be like, I think a lot of men do these techniques and they start to find more success with women, but it's only because one of the things, it's basically pickup artists are charlatans. They convince you to go out and like hit on women a lot more. And of course, the more, you know, you hit on women, the more you're going to like actually.
Like if you leave your room and interact, you will probably be with more women.
Exactly.
Right, right.
And so, yeah, like the confidence, I think the appeal of it, though, is a lot of men who have anger issues towards women enjoy being told that they have permission to be mean to them.
So that starts to lead us in the direction of, you know, the larger, and I think there's all these obvious caveats that, of course, you know, when someone engages in an action like this, in a certain sense, it's, you know, it's almost overdetermined, right? Because the gun issue is really obvious. There's obviously mental health issues. He also had many racial animosities. But here it's like, you know, the misogyny that runs through this narrative of this guy, of Elliot Rodger, is so unmistakable and really the kind of, to the extent to which everything he sort of presented publicly with the videos, with the manifesto, with these actions, was really, you know, he was kind of building a narrative arc, and misogyny is the narrative arc. Like it is the core of the story in some respects. So, you know, how I guess if we're going down this road, do you think that this worldview and what's attached to it kind of provides a backdrop for, I guess, this action and maybe all sorts of less dramatically horrific actions, but all sorts of things that happen every day that are horrific, abuse, rape, you know, pressure. I mean, you know, how does this play into a bigger context other than men using like more annoying pickup lines at bars? Because obviously it does.
Well, I think like one of the narrative of pickup artistry that they always use to sort of sell their videotapes and books and stuff is that you the guy that is the customer are somebody who is a nice guy. And you're just so nice that women overlook you because you're nice, and you're nice, nice, nice. That just comes up over and over. And then what you need to do is, and once you accept that, you accept the premise that women overlook men specifically because men are nice, you're starting to see women, you've already laid the seed for just a misogynist worldview where you're just mad at women for being wrong all the time and not giving out sex according to a metric that you think is the one that they should be, and that they're unfair and they're unjust. I mean, it definitely starts from this notion that sex is the sort of thing that women hold and that they distribute it somehow to men, and that the formula for which women are distributing the apparently limited amount of sex out there is somehow unfair. And once you're in that mindset, I think everything else starts to follow, especially with these online communities that are kind of built to the around this ideology. All these guys get together and they start talking about how women have failed them and failed the world by having sex wrong. And they get madder and madder at women. And then, of course, once you're very angry at women for supposedly failing you to have the sex with you that you deserve, the next thing that happens, of course, is violence starts to seem like a reasonable response, you know. And I think, you know, Rogers is just a really extreme example of this. But I think that in many ways, and out in the pickup artist community, but in all sorts of other world, like just the world generally, and in many different ways, you know, there are all these narratives out there of women owe men all sorts of things, attention, sex, children, whatever. And if they don't give it, they should be forced, often with violence. And I think that, you know, it's not just a pickup artist. I think it's a message you see over and over and over again in many different ways, that women's bodies are, women are not good enough or smart enough to make the final decisions about our bodies. And so that belongs to somebody else. And if we refuse to give that power to them, then violence starts to creep in. So I, you know, the most obvious example in the day-to-day tat-tat of our culture is like the debate over, you know, abortion rights and whether or not women have earned somehow the right to decide for ourselves what to do with our bodies, or if we're not smart or good enough to make that decision and therefore somebody else should be making it for us. And, you know, the fact that that's a, like, considered a legitimate point of discourse in our culture, I think, shows how these kind of more gruesomely misogynist, like, and more obviously misogynist kind of cultures spring up, where you have men just sitting around grousing about how women aren't doing sex right, you know?
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah, and a lot of pickup artists have been using as an excuse to, like, sort of distance this Elliot Rogers person from their community is that, you know, he frequented this forum called PUA Hate, which apparently is this website that attacks pickup artists. Now, they don't attack pickup artists because, for example, Michael and I believe that they are disgusting for their views on women and how they treat women. They attack pickup artists because the pickup artist, I guess, game doesn't work for them, and they've failed at the pickup artist tactics, unlike the PUAs who actually do it and do find some success. So what would you say to that? I guess, what would you say to people who use that as a defense as to why, you know, pickup artistry isn't to blame in this aspect?
I've been insulting so many girls' shoes across the city, and it has not yielded me sex.
Yeah, that's basically
it. And I'm enraged.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You know, I think that's exactly what I said, you know, in the article, and to them generally, is PUA Hate was a website that still accepts the fundamental premise of pickup artistry, which is that women are broken and that they are only responsive to predatory, disgusting male behaviors, and that they overlook quote unquote nice guys, like, and that they're pre-programmed by evolution to do sex wrong, as it were. And I think that insofar as pickup artists and pickup artist haters agree with each other that women are the ultimate parties to blame for men's problems, I think that it's otherwise, you know, it's a dodge to say they're not the same. You know, it's like saying, well, you know, fundamentalist Christians and fundamentalist Muslims hate women in slightly different ways, therefore you can't compare their misogyny. Mm-hmm. Well, that's just ridiculous. You know, mm-hmm. The misogyny is kind of a common thread throughout, like, all these different ideologies. And, you know, whatever else they may disagree on, they definitely agree that women are bad.
Right. And it's also, I mean, you know, this is a really, I mean, I almost hesitate to use this example, but I mean, there's something so, like, yes, women love scumbags, which is why, like, in, you know, in pop culture, Kim Jong-un is so desired by women, and they could, like, care less about Ryan Gosling or something. You know, it's like, there's so many ways that this, I mean, just even on that kind of silly a level, that kind of belie this myth. And I guess what I find interesting is that, and I'd like you to elaborate on, though, is this specific, you know, because this guy, if we go back to Elliot Rodger, he's talking, you know, he's, I'm the perfect gentleman. I think the supreme gentleman, which is, I don't, you know, okay, I guess, you know, that's where some of the other stuff comes in. But regardless, I mean, he's making videos saying women are like loathsome, disgusting creatures. And incidentally, also, you know, men who are able to be with women and have sex and date and everything also deserve to die. And, you know, and meanwhile, and what's the, and then the context is I'm a nice person who's a gentleman and I'm not getting recognized for it. I mean, and I feel like this thread is very interesting because in this community, the nice guy is demonized. And then the self mythology is that I'm really nice, but the actual performative like activity is being on an internet forum saying that women are like disgusting status seeking creatures that won't give me sex because they're cruel and uncompassionate, which is like an interesting way of conceiving yourself as being nice. So like, what is that whole dynamic is what I'm trying to get to. It's bizarre. And why is like nice demonized as a category? Cause you know, I guess that's another way, like confidence gets conflated with being an asshole. Nice gets conflated with being like, I don't know, respectful or an empathetic, engaged human being. I mean, you know, what is that dynamic there, and how does that fit into the other threads you're drawing about bigger cultural stories of misogyny?
You know, I mean, I think it's so very confusing to us because if we're looking for any kind of intellectual consistency here, there's none, right?
Yes.
I mean, the only consistent thing here is that the pickup artists and the pickup artist haters and all these different guys touting the nice guy, like, line are just being super self-serving. They have no evidence either that women... Mm-hmm. That the guy, that their sexual rivals that they see as more successful are actually, you know, like Roger said, brutes, you know. My friend Lindsay made a really apt point on Facebook where she said, Elliot Rodger should be like the ultimate test of pickup artist theories. You know, he was mean to women, belligerent, good looking, wealthy, and obviously violent.
Right.
And by their own theories, like, women should be throwing themselves at him. And in fact, women found him creepy and avoided him. You know, there's a strong sense that he couldn't get into the sorority house that he wanted to shoot up, probably because nobody, they sensed that he was creepy and wouldn't open the door to him.
Right.
You know, so really, it's just a very self-serving narrative that is basically, I think it feeds a little bit off of there are cultural messages that suggest that, you know, there's all these like romantic comedy movies and stuff that show like the meek, receding, sweet guy as being overlooked for the jerky jock, right? Mm-hmm. But like, that's just, and they cling to that to justify their worldview, but in reality, it's just not that simple. Like, some women, maybe have crappy boyfriends. Most women prefer to be treated well. You know, women are a diverse group of people. So the second you start to make grandiose claims about what women want or what women supposedly, you know, quote unquote reward with sex, you've already lost the plot because women are not a coherent group of people that act as one, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's what's disturbing about this in some respects is that this conversation is so important and it's so vital right now. And then a lot of the things, like, I mean, they can't help but be remedial, right? Like, you're saying things that should be obvious, but they're not.
Yeah, exactly. I focus on evolutionary psychology in my article because I can't help but point out how much of it is to blame for this kind of thing, because it creates the pseudoscientific justification for treating men as a category and women as a category that act as one, each group, and are in opposition to each other, when there's zero real world evidence that men behave one way and women behave another way, and that it's consistent and in opposition. There's just no evidence for that.
Yeah, so that's the underlying base here, is the story of evolutionary psychology. And what I mean, and that field is obviously, there's a lot more dynamism and debate in that, obviously, than this kind of simplistic. And it actually reminds me of one of the articles that I looked up in kind of prepping for this, and I forget where it was there's some pickup artist who goes, apparently he goes from country to country and kind of writes review.
Roosh.
Okay. Do you know about this guy?
Yes.
So he went to Scandinavian country and basically wrote, like, there's a big social.
He literally goes to every country and then writes a book about how to, you know, have sex with the woman of this country, because every country's women have different things that they want to be told or done to them or whatever to get them into bed.
And he did poorly in this Scandinavian country. I think it was Denmark, and he actually said they have a big social safety net here. So some of the, like, a lot of the dynamics don't work in the same way. It was actually, it was a interesting and bizarre kind of write-up. I mean, you know, I guess you also noted in your article, and I think this is kind of important as we head towards wrapping this up, though, that this is a community that is definitely not, you know, it seems like there's a lot of men that are drawn to this. And I keep adding the caveat that looking out for this type of information and trying to figure this stuff out is by no means in any way an intrinsically bad or embarrassing thing to do at all. But there's this kind of community that gets drawn into it. It's very closed. And then maybe the rest of the culture hears bits and pieces of it in references in movies or newspaper articles or something. And then besides that, it doesn't seem to be that engaged with, but we're seeing it play out and feed into a much bigger structure. So I guess, you know, what is the takeaway on that level? Like, how seriously do we need to start taking this industry? And what are the alternatives for having conversations about these issues? Because obviously, you know, people want to think about these things and figure them out. And it plays a big role in people's lives.
You know, I think we need to take this industry very, very seriously for two reasons. One, I think they exploit men, you know, and I think that there are a lot of men out there who are seeking dating advice, and legitimate dating advice that is actually helpful is unfortunately drowned out in the constant drumbeat of pickup artistry that if you went online and you tried to do searches for dating advice as a man, a straight man, you're going to find it's very difficult to get past the pickup artist nonsense to get anything legitimate. And I think that the second thing that concerns me is that a lot of their ideas have really broken out of their little circles and have become very mainstream. Mm. You know, one example I like to use is the quote-unquote friend zone. I mean, it's a term that's become so common it doesn't even need to be defined, right?
Yeah.
We all know what that means. But if you think about it, the friend zone is very much the same, like, nice guy narrative. The notion that women are trading sex for status or attention, and therefore if you give her a woman attention and kindness without demanding sex in return, if you're her friend, then she will never have sex with you because she sees you as a sucker. Mm. Like, that's, I mean, first of all, not only does that suggest that women's friendship is worthless because women's only value is as sex dispensers,
right.
And, you know, I've had many men angrily defend the friend zone to me, saying, like, women should just know that no man would ever want to be your friend.
Oh, man. That's oh, my God.
That's actually pretty great. It's like, you know, Amanda, I just like to give you a little pushback on your critique here. Let's be clear. No man wants to be your friend. That's like, it's like, okay. That's funny. Okay. Yeah. That's great.
You know, and you can see the links between that, like that kind of notion and what the pickup artists are pushing, which is, you know, the same notion that being nice to women is somehow ineffectual, and that women are just sort of broken and they can't somehow deal, like, somehow correct. I don't even want to, like, suggest that women should or shouldn't make their sexual decisions based on anything. You know, have sex with who you want, you know.
Right.
Don't let other people's ideas of what you should or shouldn't want, like, form it. But, you know, I think that a term like the friend zone definitely reinforces this notion that somehow women are just unable to make good decisions for themselves.
Right.
And I find that just incredibly repulsive, and it also creates context for believing that women should be controlled and punished for their supposedly bad choices. And I see that as leaking out of the pickup artist, like, world. So they're much more mainstream, I think, than a lot of people understand.
Well, and it's also just interesting that, because it just seems to me in some respects, this is just sort of like, this is the kind of internet sort of pseudo hedonistic version of, I mean, it's a maybe extreme analogy, but it's almost, you know, it's like the promise keepers with different sexual partners, because it all just kind of goes back to, like, let's just basically reconstitute imagined gender roles from previous eras. And in this case, instead of like a strong male patriarch, you should try to be like, you know, I don't know, James Dean or whatever. And you know, that whole shtick. And then it's just kind of like, it all just seems like all these narratives kind of end up going back to the same place, which is that we need to kind of act out of some mythology, whether it's religious or whether it's a skewed view of evolutionary psychology, and then we just reconstitute old school gender roles, basically. And women suck. That's the other important through line.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I mean, I think that that's a really good point, that, like, the bigger picture here is you should just sort of, your radar should go up anytime you hear people talking about gender as in these essentialist terms, because, yeah, they're trying to definitely replace having to deal with people as individuals with these kind of, like, themes and ideas. And once you stereotype people in that way, then, you know, not only are you dismissing them as human beings, but you're also creating, I think, context for more violence. And right. I think that this is true of just not just against women, though it's very common against women. You know, this notion that women should be a certain way, and if they're not, they should be reacted to violently. But, you know, you also see that with race, like the Trayvon Martin story would be a very good example of how that works. You know, George Zimmerman didn't see a person, he saw a stereotype, and the result was deadly.
Right, right. Well, Amanda Marcotte, the piece is How Pickup Artist Philosophy and Its More Misogynist Backlash Shaped the Mind of Alleged Killer Elliot Rodger, how these ideas on the margins are going into the mainstream, and actually in some ways they're just kind of rearticulations of really problematic ideas that are at the heart of our culture anyways. So anyways, thank you so much for your time, Amanda. I definitely recommend everybody read the piece, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, folks. I think, you know, Amanda wrote a really good piece, and she's, you know, she's great. She's a really sharp analyst of these things, and I hope that was where the reaction, you know, that I had last week was coming from. And I just got to reiterate a million times. It has nothing to do, because I really did. I saw people say comments that, like, look, I relate to this stuff in the same way that someone else might relate to, like, self-development or improving your – and I have zero – like, not only do I have no objection to that, I think, honestly, like, taking care of yourself and your health and your well-being and – you know, developing yourself as a person is real. I mean, like, look,
of course.
I'm the meditating, exercising guy on this show. But as soon as you step into a preconceived notion of all women and you have a strategy that even subtly devalues or dehumanizes them, it's just, I mean,
what you could do because you're doing something, right. Not necessarily, the word isn't wrong. But, you know,
no,
you
I
might not have.
I wouldn't say
the,
wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
but you might not have the confidence, or you might have some sort of self doubt or something like that. One is building up yourself, and another is telling you that you have to do things differently because women have a problem where these things need to be done to attract them.
That's exactly right. And then the other thing that's actually funny that I also saw, because I looked more after I saw these comments. And actually, you know, some of these guys are these conflations are very weird to me, because I saw a few things where, you know, one breath is this kind of like totally, you know, all of the like, yes, put women on the defensive, blah, all this weird, creepy stuff, which again, like if you're even thinking in those terms, I have to like, you are not confident. You are not powerful. Like if you even have to think in those terms, you're out of it. You're not in the pick. You're not there. You're not where you want to be. But then they would conflate it again with like, look, yes, listening, you know, and empathy, like, and genuine engagement with another human being are obviously very attractive qualities to everybody. So I think what's interesting is that, you know, there's just there's these tremendously problematic worldviews, and then these things are getting conflated that should not be conflated. Being confident doesn't mean you're a dirtbag, right? It's not a synonymous thing. And being able to have a sense of humor and be, you know, and all this stuff is not the same thing as just being a schmuck. And, you know, this and actually, you know, anyways, there's a lot more to get into with that stuff. But I think that there is a broader cultural narrative that some of this stuff feeds into that's profoundly problematic. And that's the point of what's being addressed. It's not trying to make somebody feel bad for trying to figure out this stuff. I mean, I think we're all trying to figure out this stuff. It's complicated stuff. You know, I mean, dating and obviously relationships. I mean, everything's, you know, it's complicated. Marriage is complicated. But at any rate, Amanda's great. Want to remind you again that today is the debut of Sam's show on terrestrial radio. That's the Ring of Fire with Sam Cedar, and you can find out the information you need on.
We put it up on the blog post today at majority.fm. If you know of an affiliate by you that's going to be airing the Sam Cedar
Ring of Fire.
Ring of Fire. Sam has so many shows, I don't even know anymore. Ring of Fire Radio with Sam Cedar. Post the link to the stream in the comment section. As of right now, we know for 100% sure that if you are anywhere, you can download the TuneIn app and go to the Progressive Voices station, and you could listen to it there from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. We will know more. We'll know more places where you can listen to it in the coming days. We hope in the near future for you to be able to listen to it right on the Majority Report app, which you can download at majorityapp.com. We'll figure out some way to do it, even if it's just even on the website at majority.fm. But until then, that's the best way you can listen to it. Sorry we don't have more for you.
Keep giving you info every day. Today's the launch day. It's amazing.
And Sam will be back on this show tomorrow. So maybe he himself will be able to bring us new
information. Oh, yeah. When I say we, I mean the royal we. Like, I'm sure for weeks we will be giving you new information about the show. Folks, this show continues at full pace, obviously. As Sam said yesterday, or Sam said on Friday, rather, this is the master's class. This is where we get to take deep dives on everything from pickup artist community and how all of a sudden it's actually relevant to our whole culture and the whole culture of misogyny, dating, gender politics, pseudoscience, everything. There's so many guests coming up. You get to do, you know, 40-minute deep dive with David Harvey on the 17 contradictions of capitalism. This show is really important, and we know that a lot of you enjoy it and benefit from it. And it's an amazing arrangement that you literally, the power to not only keep the show going, but to grow it, to improve it, to make everything kind of synergized, along with the launch of the BA class in terrestrial radio, is by becoming a member, which you can do today. It takes no time, barely any time, very little effort, and very little money. Just go to majorityreport.com/become a member. Sign up on PayPal. Easiest thing in the world. You don't want to deal with PayPal. Email us at majorityreporters@gmail.com. We'll give you a P.O. box to mail a check to. Plenty of people do that. Become a member today. Download the app, Majority Report.
No, MajorityApp.com.
MajorityApp.com.
And then you could also buy all your stuff through our Amazon link.
That's
at
right.
MajorityReportKickback.com. You see no difference. It's exactly what everyone else sees when they go to Amazon.com. But we get a little kickback when you buy through that link.
You're just doing a little bit for independent media and the show you love.
Yes.
Follow us on Twitter at Majority.
You can go to JustCoffee.coop and get fair trade coffee. And you can get 10% off with coupon code Majority. I think that's another win-win scenario right there.
It's like a win-win-win-win-win scenario.
Yes,
win for us, win for a great company, win for the workers, win for the environment. Like us on Facebook.
Facebook.com/MajorityReport.
Follow us
on Twitter at Majority FM. Subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/SamCedar. Our YouTube live stream, which is youtube.com/MajorityReportLive. So many ways you can help out the show and follow us and help yourself out by digesting progressive independent media.
Indeed. Consuming and digesting. The IMs are on. You can join the program at 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920. Major climate change proposals released by President Obama. Got some sound from Bill O'Reilly. Matt Scott, the right-wing freak out about us getting a prisoner released. What else
prisoner
do we got?
Prisoner of war released.
Prisoner
yeah.
of war released.
A restaurant that has an interesting, I guess, rule about who they serve.
You don't call it no rule.
That doesn't happen in this country, right? We're past that, I thought. I guess not.
Nope.
See you in the better half.
See you in the better half, everybody.